Ya lo hace. Pierna derecha, directo al arco. ¡Golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, March 29th, 2019. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, how you doing, Dwayne, today?
I'm doing well. You know what I'm doing tonight? You don't, because I haven't told you, but I, for the first time in my life, I'm going to watch the Rocky Horror Picture Show at 11:30 p.m. tonight at the Ted Rogers Documentary Theater. I don't know what I'm in for, because it's a hardcore kind of audience.
You don't know what you're in for. Okay. You're going to see people go on stage and act the movie at the same time as the movie is happening in front of you. And if you don't know, the movie is not that good at all. It's pretty bad. Like, people were on acid back then.
True. So if anyone knows a place I can score from that, I'm kidding.
Well, just go to the corner of the... Oh, no, never mind. We're on the air. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's interesting. Tonight, I'm just going to watch soccer on TV.
Fair enough. You're going to watch the mighty Toronto FC tonight, are you?
Maybe. I don't know if they're mighty, but they're TFC.
Fair enough. They're not KFC anymore. They're TFC now. So
yeah, don't make me hungry. I want some chicken. How you guys doing? It's Friday. Thank Grant for Friday. We'll take a look at the games in Major League Soccer in a few minutes. But let's look at the news. Dwayne, a big rumor coming out of Turkey, coming out of Besiktas. Kyle Larin to Vancouver?
Yeah, I've heard some rumblings for a while now that Kyle Larin wants to come back or that Besiktas is going to move him, which, you know, is sad in a way because I think we had high hopes when he went over there, but he hasn't really performed, basically, is what it comes down to. And we see that with the national team as well. He's a striker that struggles to put the ball in the net, which is a problem when that's your main skill. But I think it would be a good move for Kyle if he came back. This is just rumor right now for the record, but it does seem to make sense that, Mark DeSantos would have connections, would know people that would know Kyle. That, you know, Kyle's not a guy that's going to, there's no room for him at TFC, but he's not a guy that wants to come back here. So Vancouver, Canadian kid, new setting, fresh start, it all sort of adds up. But, we got to say, we are... And I'll put my hand up. I was wrong. I thought he would do well over there. He's a big physical guy. I thought he would excel in the Turkish league. He just hasn't. He has not, other than a couple goals against a Minnow in the Europa League qualifying this year. He's had a really bad season, a really bad time fitting in, and that's unfortunate. But coming back to MLS might be the right move for him because he was pretty good here. Mid range pretty well, but it also makes sense. I'll let you jump in after this, Kevin. It also kind of makes sense from a Vancouver perspective because they're not a team that's going to spend a ton of money on the DP front. $2 million is the rumored fee, so they might be able to work him in as a TAM player, a low-end DP, one of those things. So it kind of makes sense from there, too.
And when you look at the roster with a Freddie Montero that was used as a pure striker but can be used as a 10, Montero as a 10, Larin up front, and you got Rana to the right, and you're starting to see a team that's taking shape, and you're starting to see the offensive options being obvious for this Vancouver team if Larin comes in. And you mentioned the money to spend. We all know Vancouver has some money to spend this year with the transfer of Alphonso Davies and that 20 million euros around the 20 million euros that Vancouver made. They have the $2 million to pay for the Larin fee. And it wouldn't be too bad. The last I heard, and that's a few different sources on social media and everywhere, they were saying that Vancouver and Besiktas have an agreement, and now Larin needs to be convinced. So we'll see if it happens in the next few days. But it's more than just a rumor at this point. There's some smoke to the fire, I believe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. As I said, I've heard for a while now that there was kind of rumblings that he would come back to North America to MLS. And as I say, this kind of fits. What I want to know, I haven't looked yet, is when does Vancouver travel to Orlando this year? Because that'll be a fun one if they do.
Larin's not going to be received well, but that could be good.
A little bit hate's fun sometimes.
It's sports hate, right? It's sports hate. It's not real hate. It's sports hate, and it makes for good atmosphere in the stadium.
Yeah, there might be some real hate there too, but the real hate we don't agree with, but the sports hate's good. It's like the TFC Impact rivalry. There's some real hate there too.
But the
sports hate's part, that's a good part of it.
There's some real hate there too. Well, that will be something to keep an eye on. And we've seen this happen before in Major League Soccer. Transfers, young players that go out on transfers, and sometimes they come back. Like Juan Agudelo, the American Cal Aaron, or is Cal Aaron the Canadian Juan Agudelo?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. Look, Kyle had a great rookie season in MLS, has petered off since then. He needs to score. He needs to get some confidence back. So I don't know what he is in Major League Soccer right now, to be completely honest. Is he a TAM player? Yeah, I'd say that's probably the right level for him. And that's good for him, too. I think he actually, ironically, might get paid more in Major League Soccer than he would in Turkey, too. So that would be part of it. That's a tough place to go and play. Like, that is, this is a kid that grew up in the greater Toronto area going into, Yeah, it's a tough place to play with the politics there and everything else and the language barrier.
Life itself is a bit tougher. To be just fair, life itself is a bit harder, a bit tougher. And we're a bit soft here. So, yeah.
Yeah, and this is a person of color, too. And I'm not sure, with all due respect, anyone who might have Turkish heritage, that's the best place for a black man either. So that a lot of stuff that's tough for him. That doesn't excuse the play on the pitch. That's his responsibility, and he hasn't performed this year. So if he comes back, it's up to him to prove that he is what the hype was. But at this point in time, I'm confident in saying that, we talked about this when we talked to the Canadian national team over the last week or so, that he's down in the depth chart of Canada now too. Like, this is a player that needs to prove himself again. And a fresh start, if that's what it takes, then good on him. And, Vancouver's building something for the next 3 or 4 years, not for this year so much. So he has time to settle there if this happens.
No, exactly. And if this happens, it could be beneficial, like you mentioned, for Vancouver, for the future, for Cal Aaron himself, for the Canadian national team. 2017 seems a long time ago, where Cal Aaron was one of the great strikers in the Canada pool, 2015, 2017. That time frame has long gone, and the state of the Canadiens national team has changed so quickly, especially the state of the roster and the state of the strikers. Now there's options. Cal Aaron, if just to play this summer in the Gold Cup, he needs to get some playing time and some performances really quickly. Otherwise, Jonathan David and company are gonna hog all the playing time, and Cal Aaron's going to be a super sub in the third game of the group stage at the 85th minute because we need to kill time with a substitution.
Now, fair enough. And look, I'm going to compare him to Jozy Altidore real quickly because he's a big body that struggled overseas, right? So he can come back and excel in this league again. He's familiar here. He's comfortable here. In terms of the national team sort of structure, as you say, he is down that chart. The wingers are really where it's at with the Canadian national team. And Cavallini's not going anywhere. But we still need Canada, that is, Kyle Lauren, to be a performer, because it would be nice to have a little depth up top.
Before we start looking at the games in Major League Soccer this weekend, well, tonight and this weekend, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been named the manager full-time of Manchester United. No more caretaker labels, no more interim tags. He is now Sir Alex Ferguson. Kind of.
Well, no.
Okay, he is now the official full-fledged Manchester United manager.
Sure. Yeah, if Phil Swansea manager takes over United. Look, I mean, he obviously has succeeded in changing the culture this year at United. And I think that basically he's a breath of fresh air for those players. He figured out how to get the most out of Pogba, which basically means that he's let him do what he wants, as far as I can tell.
Okay, Paul, you want to get the ball? You want to run? Fine, just do it. Just leave me alone.
But, yeah, look, the real question is going to come over the next you know, the next 12 months, not this time, because anyone coming in, it was toxic under Mourinho at the end, which is, you know, kind of a trend with him, right? So once this is real now he has to prove that he is deserving of a post. He does have, obviously, he scored a very big goal for that club a different century ago. And he has certainly taken that to its full measure and is a legend and beloved around that club. And I don't know, it's not who anyone would have guessed, I think, at any point that he would be the manager of Manchester United. But in some ways, that is a club that really, and I'm trying to be diplomatic, that really does love its past. And they embrace their past and they want to be part of that sort of inner club. So maybe it makes sense on that level. But when it happened yesterday, I mean, we knew this was coming for a bit, really, but when I heard it was official, I kind of thought that sounded like a move that City would have done like 15 years ago. Like, this is not who you'd expect at Manchester United, but we'll see. He certainly has been successful so far. That's where I'll leave it.
And if you look back at when Sir Alex Ferguson came in the early 90s, it was a bit of the same thing. Success was there, but he didn't have like a name. He just came from Aberdeen. It's not like he had a presence like a Mourinho or Louis van Gaal, even a David Moyes, where you come and you have a reputation and you hired for a purpose and you don't fulfill those expectations and that purpose and you're gone before you know it. The only reason why Ole's got the job is because of the results he's been having since he took over the caretaker job with Manchester United. And we have to be honest, this year, this time, this season, in this moment of replacing Mourinho, he has been successful. He has found the message, and the message is communicated well with the players. They embrace it, they understand it, and they all work together. It's all still a small sample size. Now, when you don't have just... when you come in and you take over someone who was not necessarily liked, you have a bit of a long leash. You have a different way to see it. You don't have to be the guy who comes in and does discipline, because you can just say, well, the other guy did this, I'm going to do it like this. Let's just work together. Let's salvage this situation, blah, 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 whatever motivational tactic you want to use. But when it's a long-term thing, you need to have an identity. You need to have a plan. You need to have a football plan that is long-term, not just to fix a situation and make sure that you don't not get relegated, but make sure you don't get a finish 7th or 8th in the Premier League. Now, next year and the years after, it's going to be, can you win the Premier League? Can you qualify for the Champions League? And can you go deep in the Champions League? And that's where the real pressure will be for Ole.
Absolutely. And I mean, the thing with United, and again, for those that know my partisanship, I am trying to be professional here. They have to define themselves. They have to understand what they are and what they want, because for a United fan base, they are not used to being in a mix before. They are used to being in a mix on their own as the mighty Man United. And they haven't been probably in, 4 years now? And that's a long time for a club that has tradition.
When did the United play with that plaid tablecloth on their shirts? Was it 2013-14? Was it 2012-2013?
Yeah,
2013-14 was the last Sir Alex Ferguson season. And I think it's the last time they won the title, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they won the title in Ferguson's last year, which was the year after the Aguero goal, which, what was that, 2013?
It was 2013, so 13-14, yeah.
Yeah, for them, that's a big stretch. But I don't know what United's future is, because they really are struggling, I think, to define themselves in an era where there are no longer one or two clubs in the Premier League that are, you know, rich and able to compete with them. There are now six, basically, and they need to figure out how they fit into that world, because they still view themselves, I believe, as the mighty Man United. And look, part of my, if I put my partisan hat on for a second, part of my dislike for them is because they were mighty. They did win all the time. They were the bullies, right? And they haven't been in a while. And you know, is he the right guy for that? He does have a link to the past. As I said a few minutes ago, he scored one of their biggest goals in club history, helped them win a treble in 1999. So Maybe that's what they need. Maybe they don't need a tactician. Maybe they don't need an outside name. Maybe they need one of the boys to come in and steer the ship back to where they feel they belong.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes it's not the person you imagine or not the character you imagine, not the name recognition that you imagine taking over a high-profile job, but someone who gets a chance, an opportunity, and works hard. So for me, we'll see where it goes from here. But I'm not surprised that they give it to him. They kind of have to give it to him with the results, with the pressure of the fans saying, look, we want him. Like, if you're going to give us somebody else, just give him a chance and we'll see for the future. You're going to fire the other one in 2 years anyway, so give him a chance. But we'll keep the situation open. But for me, it's not about the rest of this season. It's truly, okay, now Ole, you got the job. Now it's the focus on the next 2 years. What is your plan for transfers? Because it's not like you're going to develop everyone you have. What's your plan for how to make sure your young academy players that are trying to break through that hasn't got the chance over the last 5 years, how do you make them go into the team? So a lot of work for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer in the next few years as a new full-time manager of Manchester United. But this weekend, starting even tonight, Major League Soccer is back on our televisions or our streaming services, depending where you are, DAZN, ESPN Plus, and of course regular television. Tonight, Toronto FC, NYCFC at BMO Field at 8 p.m. Dwayne, what are you expecting from this game tonight? Pozuelo debut, maybe?
Probably, yeah. I mean, he certainly doesn't need time to get in game shape. He's been playing all season. The worry with him would be managing the load for the rest of the year, because he's basically going to play 18 straight months. Obviously, because of all the attention I have put on this gentleman for, 6 weeks now, I am excited to see what Pozuelo can do on that pitch. But, this is a chance for TFC to get, you know, by all reasonable evaluation, they should be a slight favorite in this game. I say slight because I think you're always a slight favorite in Major League Soccer. You're never a massive one unless you run away with things. And 9 points out of three games, like, you can't argue with that. That would be a really big deal for a club that struggled so much last year. So I think this is a big game. And if they can put a marker down, and if Pozuelo can get into that and link with Josie and do some things to sort of quiet the negative voices out there that are still angry about the little fellow that scored 3 goals in 3 games in Saudi Arabia, then this is a really good opportunity for TFC to put 2018 behind them and suddenly say, you know, drop the mic, look, we're back. We are a contender that you have to deal with, because nine points is, that's significant. It's a big deal this early, even though it's early. We always say that it's early, but the thing is, points you get in March still count in October, right?
So, are you saying that points on the board are points in the pocket?
100% I'm saying that. And TFC dropped too many points last year early. So, you know, they need to take care of this one. NYCFC have not looked great so far this year. It's a home game. They've handled them traditionally. They to me, need to go out and put a marker down and get these 3 points. And like I say, if they have 9 points on the board, then, look, you start doing the math. Like, they really only need, like, you know, to play kind of 500 the rest of the way, and they're probably a playoff team.
And then the game's tomorrow, 1 p.m. in Chicago, who welcomed their newest player yesterday, Gaetan, who's maybe the best player to ever play for the Chicago Fire. They're at home versus the new Red Bull. The Red Bulls have some, I would say, some redemption ahead of them with their loss to Orlando last week at home. So now the Red Bulls are on the road trying to get a win versus Chicago. New England, Minnesota. At home in Foxborough at 2 p.m. If you have a fantasy team, make sure you put a few players from Minnesota. It's always a good idea to play players that are playing against New England. Sporting Kansas City and Montreal, Dwayne, tomorrow 3 p.m. Now, fantasy advice as well. Nacho Piatti is not going to play tomorrow. So Nacho Piatti should be on your bench. You should maybe trade him for tomorrow. But maybe put him on your bench, because if you trade him, you lose the value that you have over the last few weeks. He's worth more than he was at the beginning of the season, which means you have more than $100 million. But just so you don't lose a player tomorrow. Piatti is not playing, and Kansas City is looking good tomorrow against Montreal, Dwayne, because of the absence of Nacho Piatti. There's a lot of players from Montreal that played in the international break. Safir Taïda, Daniel Lovitz for the United States, Safir Taïda for Algeria, Samuel Piet for Canada, and a lot of travel. So we'll see what the starting 11 looks like tomorrow. And Okwonkwo, as of yesterday, Dwayne, he was still not back from international week. So a lot of question marks for the impact tomorrow. But when you look at the games they played already, 2 wins out of 3, all on the road. You're playing Kansas City, one of favorites in the Western Conference. Well, I wouldn't be too worried if I'm an Impact fan or if I'm the Impact. Rest your players, play your kids. Don't worry about the result tomorrow. Tomorrow is about not losing a player for a few months, and it's not about tomorrow. So tomorrow is not really about tomorrow, Dwayne.
What do you do when it's 4th and 19, Kevin?
When it's 4th and 19, you punt the ball. You take the ball and you punt it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, sometimes it's for the best to look long-term. And they said, look, you never want to give points up in Major League Soccer, 100%. But at the same time, there are times when realistically it's more important to get some rest and let the kids go out there and try and prove themselves. So, yeah, absolutely. I'm also disappointed, Kevin, that you don't think that 240-pound Blanco was the Chicago Fire's best player ever, because he's certainly fun to watch.
Wait, when you see those highlights of like 97 and 98 and you see Blanco, like, jogging is an overstatement. And he just hits the ball from like almost midfield and he scores. You're like, wow, this guy was so much better than everyone. He had no cardio, no physical stamina. He wasn't an athlete. Comes here and still better than everyone. That was an interesting time in the late 90s.
Yeah, look, I played, I remember the first senior team I played for in this sport. There was a Scottish gentleman that weighed about 340 pounds. He never left the center circle, but he could spray that ball anywhere he wanted to. So, yeah, you know, there's value in that, but yeah, fair enough. All right, continuing.
San Jose LAFC, the Battle of California. Again, a fantasy advice, LAFC, 3 players from LAFC. You need to captain Carlos Vela. It's that easy. They're playing the Quakes. Whoever plays the Quakes, you choose 3 of those players, you captain one of them, and you're going to win at fantasy because San Jose is trash so far. Sorry, Chris. Sorry, other listeners from San Jose. Sorry, Wando. But Wando, watch. If you want to watch Wando score goals and beat records, that's going to be the saving grace of the Quakes fan this year. Like, okay, let's just watch Wando. Let's hope he scores. That's all we care about. FC Cincinnati, Philadelphia. Now that game is fascinating to me, Dwayne, because Cincinnati's having an amazing beginning of the season. 2 out of 3 wins so far and a draw. And 2 win a draw and a defeat for the expansion team. Philly just got a great result last week, but There's expectations in Philadelphia this year. They have Marco Fabian, and they have a bit more of a positive outlook in their short-term future. But this game, FC Cincinnati-Philadelphia, can actually tell us which one of those two teams is the best and will challenge for great results in the next few weeks. Because Cincinnati, so far, they're looking more like Atlanta than Minnesota as expansion team. Not quite LAFC. But FC Cincinnati, so far, they have impressed me.
Look, if you go back and listen to our preview show, what I said about Cincinnati back then was I think that they were, I thought that they would be basically average. I think they're going to be around 7th, 8th, 9th, somewhere like that, because that's how the roster is built. My concern with them wasn't this year, it was next year and the year after, because they aren't really built with long term in mind and they're not built to win now. So it's kind of still difficult for me to see the logic and how they put that team together, even though they have the 2 wins. A lot of people are, you know, excited about the fact that they have the 2 wins and excited about the crowd there and all that sort of jazz. But I'd pump the brakes a little bit on the hype there. I don't think they're Atlanta. I think what they are is a kind of mediocre MLS team, and whether they can build moving forward is the question. Quickly on San Jose, Kevin, there's only one team in MLS history that has finished back-to-back seasons with less than 30 points. I'm not going to say who that team was.
But they're playing tonight.
The Earthquakes have a chance to match that.
I'm not going to say where it was, but Pozuelo just signed for them. Columbus, Atlanta, tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. That's another great matchup in the Eastern Conference. Columbus, been disappointed with the fan base, disappointed with the results so far. But they have a good team. I was going to say good little team. I thought it was a bit mean, even demeaning. So Columbus has a good team, and Atlanta's ripe for the taking. If I was a betting man, I put $2 on Columbus to win at home. Real Salt Lake FC Dallas tomorrow night at 9. Colorado Houston, Vancouver Seattle, the Cascadia Derby-ish tomorrow at 10 p.m. And Sunday, two games on Sunday, Dwayne. We have Orlando DC and LA Portland. Orlando, if Orlando beats DC at home, then Orlando's for real. If DC wins in Orlando, then Orlando is who we thought they were.
If you ever want to enrage a Sounders fan, suggest to them just even pleadingly that you might want to open the Cascadia Cup up to Pacific FC. That's all I'm going to say there. But I had to like delete the tweet, and it was a mess. I made up anyway. The Columbus Atlanta is really interesting to me because the Crew, as you say, are kind of a team that I think a lot of people think is decent. And Atlanta is, you know, I'm looking at their form chart right now. There's two W's there, but that would include the MLS Cup still. So they've had an interesting start to their season, and if they drop more points, then it's going to be kind of funny to read Atlanta Twitter and Reddit and all that sort of jazz, because this would be, you know, their lowest point in franchise history.
that's actually true.
Good. Yeah.
Because, yeah, it is. If they have like 3 defeats in a row, that would be the lowest points in club history. But yeah, it's a good weekend in Major League Soccer. We'll keep an eye, of course. We'll come back Monday with the Canadian Review, the Weekend Review, and more. As always, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute. You can follow myself at Kev Laramie and the show at Soccer Today SPN. You can join our Fantasy League. Just go to MLSsoccer.com. Look for Fantasy. Look for Soccer Today on SPN. And come and test yourself, test your soccer knowledge against ours, and maybe win prizes. You can win by the end of the spring season. You can win maybe a Nacho Piatti signed ball, maybe an Orlando City signed jersey. You can win those prizes by joining our Fantasy League and performing well and just participating, because that's what counts in life. And as always, you can find the podcast versions of this show anywhere you get your podcasts. But until Monday, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcasts.